Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. The two dominant healthcare players in the Charlotte region are Atrium Health and Novant Health. It's been that way for years, and each has been expanding in their own ways, broadening their footprint, something that has been happening with healthcare systems nationwide. Well, now another player is about to enter the market. Actually, they already have. Duke Health has crossed into the Piedmont region, seeking to expand their footprint for the first time across the state. Last April, they acquired Lake Norman Regional in Mooresville at a cost of $284 million. That hospital will be rebranded as Duke Health Lake Norman. But Duke's expansion doesn't stop there. They have also announced a partnership with Novant to develop new campuses across the state. They claim the collaboration will expand access to affordable, high-quality care. It's a refrain that we've heard from other healthcare systems as a justification for their mergers and expansions. But does it work? Is bigger better? Cheaper? Do patients really end up with more choices and access to additional highly skilled physicians and diagnostic equipment? We're going to look at that this hour. Michelle Crouch is an independent healthcare journalist who writes for North Carolina Health News and the Charlotte Ledger. She joins us along with Dr. Barack Richmond, professor of business law and co-director of the Health Law and Policy Program at George Washington University. He's also senior scholar at the Clinical Excellence Research Center at the Stanford University School of Medicine. And Matthew Hannes is a consultant and expert in the business of healthcare, as well as being co-founder and chief operating officer at Goldie Health. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, Michelle, I'm going to start with you because you're the journalist here, and I'm hoping that you can get, as somebody who covers this topic extensively, you can give us a little lay of the land. Both Atrium and Novant have been engaging in and are products themselves of expansion and mergers. So take us briefly through how these two systems came to be what they are today, what their growth has meant for this region and for the areas into which they have expanded.
Wow. Mike, you started with a big question. But I think everybody in Charlotte knows that, you know, Atrium started as, you know, at Carolina's Medical Center and has just really exploded in the last decade or so under the leadership of Gene Woods. Not only did they merge with a hospital system in Georgia, they combined with Wake Forest Baptist, and then they combined with a hospital system in the Midwest to create the third largest public healthcare system in the country with about $34 billion in revenue. And Novant, not to be left behind, has embarked on a similar push for expansion. They've purchased a bunch of hospitals in South Carolina. Now they've move forward trying to purchase hospitals across North Carolina. They're really focusing more on the North and South Carolina region. And so what's happening is that hospitals are really buying into this idea that bigger is better. They see it as their best strategy as they're trying to cope with rising healthcare costs, lower payments from insurers, and, you know, patients that really want the best and highest level treatments that are available.
So Matt, is this because you consult hospitals and medical practices? Is this because if you don't grow, you die or you get gobbled up?
Yeah, this is a game of economies of scale. And before I say that, let me also just mention, Mike, huge fan, love your show. Thank you for what you do. You bring a touch of local journalism that's valuable to Charlotte. But back to your question, these health systems have to grow because they need economies of scale. To run a health system, you're living on, at best, a 5% margin or less. And so the only way that you can survive is if you get bigger and have the buying power and the pricing power to be able to earn the profit that you need to reinvest capital.
That actually surprises me, given the cost of medical care. So maybe that's something we can get into a little bit later on here. But Michelle, these two hospital systems, Novant and Atrium, at least in Charlotte, hold it near lock, as you report on the region's hospitals, a growing share of its doctors and a lot of its specialty care. There are other players out there, but they're much smaller and they're not everywhere. Clearly, Duke Health has its own expansion ambitions, as I alluded to a moment ago, but can they make a dent in this region, given this near lock on healthcare by these two mammoth systems, at least mammoth for us? I mean, what kind of impact can they really have?
Well, that's a great question, Mike. And I do think that remains to be seen. But I will say that Duke has an excellent national reputation. And a lot of Charlotte patients, a surprising number, actually, even now are traveling the 2.5 hours to Duke in order to get that top tier medical care. And so Duke's vision is to really make access easier for patients in the Charlotte region. And so, you know, we don't know what that's going to look like down the road. Right now, they just have one hospital in Lake Norman, and they have this partnership with Novant, but there have been very few details about what that's going to look like and how that's going to create more access for patients to the Duke Health System.
Who owned that hospital prior to Duke coming in April?
Do you guys remember the name of it, Matt or Brock?
I believe it was a district hospital, wasn't it?
I think it was Community Health Systems based out of Tennessee.
Okay. You're right, CHS.
Yeah.
So when hospital systems propose mergers and they expand their footprint, they always claim that patient options will improve, outcomes will get better, costs will decline. Internally, discussions center on these mergers and acquisitions as cutting costs within the hospital system itself and also boosting revenues. Matthew, how does that happen when, in some cases, the acquiring hospital has to take on an enormous amount, it seems to me, of debt when they make that acquisition? How does that keep costs down?
Yeah, it's a real conundrum. And you know, let's look at the data. In this country, we spent $5.3 trillion last year in healthcare. About a third of that we paid the hospitals. And that rate went up by 8.2%. Now, with all these mergers like Advocate and Atrium merging and the other mergers around the country, why is our healthcare cost going up 8.2% if mergers are going to bring us cost savings? And I would argue that it's almost impossible for cost savings in healthcare to accrue to the patient. And that's not just because of the health systems, that's also because of the payers. Remember, if you're the typical person in the WFAE audience, your highest cost in your healthcare budget is probably the insurance premium that you're paying, as opposed to the copays and fees that you pay when you actually go and use a delivery system. So you have to think about both when you think about the total cost to the average user.
So Dr. Richmond, you're a professor of business law. There are antitrust considerations and all that kind of stuff that swirl around these mergers. If there, as Matthew has just said, if there are no cost savings to the patient and yet the hospital systems are saying that's what it results in, do policymakers know that too and just let this pass?
So first of all, let me say that I'm also a huge fan of local journalists, and I'm especially a huge fan of local healthcare journalists. So Matt started off by saying how, Mike, he's a big fan of yours. I'm going to say I'm a big fan of Michelle. And it relates to the way I'm going to start my answer. You are absolutely right that whenever there's some kind of hospital merger or hospital acquisition, we get a press release from the PR department from the hospital and says, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Quality is going to shoot up. Costs are going to shoot down. Everyone's going to have great access. The only counterweight to that press release are people like Michelle, independent journalists, mm-hmm. who try to inform the local patients and customers that there's another side to the story. And the other side of the story is overwhelmingly supported by evidence. Prices do not go down. Prices go up. To tweak something that Matt said, there are no economies of scale. Economies of scale in the economic sense means that production is more efficient. costs go down. And costs do not go down, costs go up. But the reason we see all this expansion is because price leveraging goes up. So all we're seeing from this expansion is a less efficient healthcare system, frankly, one that has lower quality, and one that is increasing prices across the board. The other thing I'll emphasize is that not only is this because of simple leveraging, there is an antitrust problem, there is a market leverage problem. The bigger the hospital systems are, the more they command the prices that they can charge to both patients and insurers. But it also changes our delivery system. It means that everything that we do has to do with a hospital. Every doctor we see is incentivized to refer us to secondary and tertiary care in the hospital. It's bad for America. This is a real severe problem nationwide for our delivery system.
I have a question to ask about something you said about this latest merger in Charlotte in a moment, but I know Matt wants to get in on this conversation too. Matt, go ahead.
Well, first of all, I agree with what Dr. Richmond just said. I also want to throw an interesting twist into it. Before getting on the show this morning, I took a little time on the Atrium website and on the Duke website, and I went and figured out if I were to get a colonoscopy, my lovely wife is getting one in a couple of weeks, so I'm about to pay for one. There's going to be a dramatic difference if I go to Atrium Lake Norman than if I go to Duke Lake Norman. It's almost a $2,000 difference. And Duke is cheaper.
How do you explain that?
I think there's two things going on. I think that Duke hasn't yet brought its pricing power to Charlotte. And I think they're living right now with the pricing that existed at that hospital at the time of acquisition. Because remember, they have to renegotiate with all of the payers and reset pricing. And that's where economies of scale come in.
Michelle, you had your hand up at some point. I think you want to get in. If you do, go ahead.
Well, I do. I just want to make the point that one thing that is interesting about the Charlotte market is that, a lot of this expansion that is happening is, Atrium going to, or a hospital system going to a county where there's one hospital and they buy it up, they gobble it up. And then, like, Dr. Richmond and Matt talked about, they end up being able to negotiate with insurers and really bargain to raise the price. But what's interesting about Duke coming into Charlotte is that we are going to have more competition in Charlotte as a result. So now we're going to have three hospital systems here competing. And generally speaking, healthy competition is good for the healthcare market. It can really raise the bar when it comes to health outcomes and quality of care. And ideally, it will lower prices for patients.
And that echoes what Dr. Barack Richmond said, and I was going to ask him about, because you have said, and you just said on the air a minute ago, that these mergers lead to less competition and therefore higher prices. But the entry of Duke into the Charlotte market, one controlled by Novant and Atrium, would seem to have the opposite effect. You have called the entry of Duke into Charlotte as, quote, good news for Charlotte and for North Carolina because it brings competition to a market dominated by Atrium and Novant, which is healthy for patients. And you go on to say that for people in Charlotte, it might even lower some prices. I want to get your thoughts on your own comment in a moment when we come back from the break, but I hear the music playing, so we've got to stop. We're here talking about the entry of Duke Hospital Systems into the Charlotte market with Dr. Barack Richmond from George Washington University, Matthew Harris Hannes from Goldie Health, and Michelle Crouch. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, incorporating Mazda's customer-centric vehicle design by making the customer the center of business to create a better car buying experience. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and WFAG. I'm Mike Collins. Michelle Crouch joins us. She is a healthcare journalist for NC Health News and also the Charlotte Ledger. Matthew Hannes, co-founder and COO of Goldie Health. He's a consultant in the healthcare sector. And Dr. Barack Richmond's professor of business law and co-director of the Health Law and Policy Program at George Washington University and senior scholar of Clinical Excellence Research Center at Stanford University. University School of Medicine. Long titles. I don't know how they go on the business card. But nonetheless, let's talk about this entry by Duke University Hospitals into the Charlotte market up in Lake Norman, because you've called this good news for Charlotte because it might lead to greater competition in this market, Dr. Richmond, and that's healthy for patients. Is that because it's a new player or simply because it's a merger or consolidation, or is it because this will actually cause prices to go down from the other two hospitals, at least for the specialists that serve the Duke University Hospital?
Well, I was very careful to say this is good for the people of Charlotte. And it is good for the people of Charlotte in the sense that it is an entry. It is not a merger. It is an entry. Now, a lot of this depends on how much they are simply assuming the market share that Novant has. If effectively they are just taking the word Novant and adding Duke to it and are not adding any additional facilities or any additional services, then, you know, things aren't going to change a whole lot. But this development is notable in that it is somewhat counter to the trend that Michelle was describing before about hospital systems simply eating up like an amoeba all of the other hospitals nearby, and frankly, also merging with other hospitals in other distances. This is, to the degree that this is Duke really entering, and the word entry, I think, is really important here. To the degree that this Duke really entering into the Charlotte market, it will bring new competition. And as Matt's illustration suggested for the colonoscopy, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of economics to realize that the more market, the more competitors there are for services, the more price competition is going to be.
I want to go back a little bit and talk about the standard, the fact that hospital systems that merge and enter markets and merge with other hospitals tout the fact that they're going to bring better care, higher quality care to patients. And in the past, Dr. Richmond, you have said that rarely occurs. Why, and do you see something different with the entry of Duke into this market?
Yeah, I may not have used the word rarely. I may have used the word never. It never happens. when two hospitals merge together, even hospitals that are somewhat co-located, like Brigham and Women's and Mass General in Boston, it is really hard to achieve. You know, Matt used the word economies of scale. It is really hard to reduce costs. Maybe, yeah, you know, you can fire a couple people in the accounting department, but you cannot run, or there has been a historical inability to run hospitals more efficiently through some kind of economy of scale or scope. It is very hard to manage ground level operations in the clinical area in ways that achieve efficiencies. But it is extremely easy to have a larger market share, go to a payer, whether it's a large employer or an insurer, and simply increase prices. In fact, actually, hospital monopolies, to the degree that you kind of need, this is as essential a product as there is. If you are providing an insurance product, you need to have access to hospitals. And hospitals have done a really good job, bad in a social sense, but good in a microeconomic sense, of leveraging their economic power to lead to higher prices. It is the central game plan, the central strategy to mergers. And by the way, we, as in the public, as antitrust enforcers, have done a pretty bad job stopping that from happening. You might recall Atrium's, at that point, I think it was Carolina's, effort to merge with UNC. That's the exception that proves the rule. That would have been a remarkable amount of consolidation in North Carolina. North Carolina really would have suffered from that merger for all the reasons we're describing. But that might be the only acquisition that Atrium was stopped from doing. And by the way, also, there's now a move by UNC to merge with Eastern Carolina, which I think would be really bad for North Carolina. These hospital systems are constantly in growth mode, and what's motivating them is not to achieve efficiencies, to reduce costs, and not also to improve quality. It is because the attractiveness of pricing leverage is so enormous.
Our producer for this segment, Chris Jones, spoke yesterday with Dr. Justin Favaro. He's a medical oncologist with Oncology Specialists of Charlotte. He believes that the laws like those that prohibit physicians from owning hospitals and the certificate of need laws that we have yet to talk about, which exist here in North Carolina, has helped to lead to this consolidation parade, and that concentrates or reduces the availability of expensive diagnostic equipment and the number of available appointments to use that equipment. He believes this trend has actually reduced patient options.
What you're doing is you're really restricting the ability of physicians to bring more elements of healthcare into the system. Consolidated healthcare systems, will petition the state to get certain equipment, and then they will be able to access that. But there's limitations there. And so instead of having, 20 different oncology groups buying MRI machines or having available appointments, you really have two big healthcare systems and then some other smaller groups. But there's not as many options, in my opinion, because of the consolidation. If our healthcare system was deconsolidated, I think it would be faster to get access to care.
So I want to hear from Matthew and Dr. Richman on this. He's advocating for deconsolidation, but equipment, like MRI machines, are monstrously expensive, it seems to me. Could individual medical practices afford the number of machines that perhaps would be nice to have in a city the size of Charlotte or larger? Or is it more practical for hospitals through their mergers to make these machines available to people, Matt?
Well, I think there's no question that there's economies of scale that occur when large health systems merge. Just purely the amount that they pay for their supplies goes down because they have better pricing power with their suppliers. And we've got to remember, healthcare has always been capital intensive, but it's even more capital intensive right now with the introduction of AI and a variety of strategies that are being deployed by these large health systems. So I think there's real economies of scale of the mergers that can be accumulated. But with that said, I totally agree with Dr. Richman. It's at the end of the day, that pricing isn't going to translate to us as users of the services. And I think Duke's entry into the market, I think, has two implications to it. They're doing it with Novant, so it's really not a competitor coming in. It's a co-opetition. And Duke nationally is well recognized and price is very high. So we may see an upward pressure from that price.
Dr. Richman.
Well, just two quick points. First of all, the degree of purchasing power to, I don't know, your pipettes are less expensive because of scale. That's really, really nominal in the cost of healthcare. And even in making investments in AI. So I think the general idea that a large hospital system can save money on supplies is really a non-starter in the grand scheme of things. But one thing that might be significant is that hospital systems, if they have market power, might and have been able to reduce wages for nurses and wages for doctors. Now, maybe some people think that as an economy of scale. I see that as monopsony power, and I think doctors and nurses would agree with me.
Michelle, I was just going to ask you about that because you report that as hospitals consolidate, wages drop for healthcare workers because they have fewer options for employment. Is that happening in North Carolina? Has it happened to any great degree because of these mergers that Novant and Atrium have already been involved in? And because we have a nursing shortage and other healthcare professional shortage, isn't this just going to exacerbate that?
Well, nobody's looked at North Carolina specifically, but national research has definitely shown that as consolidation happens, healthcare wages drop. And I will say that I do hear a lot from nurses and doctors and nurse technicians from our local healthcare systems. I especially tend to get those calls anytime I report about the very high executive wages of those healthcare systems. But what they tell me is that the only way they're able to get a significant raise is by threatening to leave to go to the other healthcare system. So we are lucky in Charlotte that we have, I mean, if you can call it lucky, but we are fortunate that we do have two healthcare systems. So I hear from nurses at Atrium who threaten to leave or actually leave and go to Novant and get a boost and then go back to Atrium to get another boost. So I think that, that is how having multiple healthcare systems competing in an area can keep wages high. If you don't have anywhere to go, they know they have you and they can pay you whatever they want.
And you mentioned, Matt, this $2,000discrepancy in the cost of a proctoscope exam, essentially, for normal health checkup, which everybody goes to after a certain age. This $2,000 discrepancy, is that basically the difference in the doctor's fees, or is it can't be equipment fees? So that's illustrative of when competition comes in, prices go down. Or
I
and
think
wages
it's
go down?
I think it's a pricing game. I don't think that there's a correlation between cost and price in healthcare. I think that the pricing power of Lake Norman Hospital before the acquisition was very low. And now with Duke coming in and with Novant as its coopetition partner, I think price we can expect that prices at Lake Norman Hospital will probably rise.
And in fact, research by Carnegie Mellon University shows that the lack of competition causes prices to increase by 60 to 30% when these hospitals merge. But this is not that case. This is a different case altogether, and you're still saying that prices are going to rise. Part of this proposal of Duke is that it will combine with Novant to, quote, develop new campuses across the state, Michelle. What does that mean? They're not going to be in competition. They're not going to merge. They're not going to own each other. They're just going to cooperate and co, and I mean literally cooperate these hospitals.
Well, Mike, they were pretty light on details and they declined my request for an interview. So, but I was able to get some information by looking at their required financial filings. And, what's interesting is that they're not saying that they're going to merge. They're not even saying they're going to combine. Right now, they've just committed to open some joint campuses across the state. The financial filing specifically said that they want to open a series of outpatient surgical centers called ambulatory surgical centers along the I-77 corridor in Charlotte. So that would give patients some more options. And they also are already trying to open a joint hospital in Mebane, North Carolina. And so it remains to be seen really what this is going to look like for the Charlotte region. Are they going to try to open a joint hospital here? Or does this just mean that they're going to have a bunch of outpatient surgical centers where you can go get a knee replacement or smaller medical procedures?
Even though they've been relatively opaque about this, particularly to you, Michelle, they have said that the partnership will bring more of Duke's specialty expertise, such as advanced cancer care and gastrointestinal surgery, directly to the Charlotte market, in this case of the Lake Norman Hospital that they're now working in. Is that care substantially different or more advanced than what is already offered by Novant, by Atrium at the existing hospitals here? Michelle?
Well, Duke is considered one of the top 10 hospitals in the country, They're a highly ranked academic medical center. They have access to clinical trials and to treatments that we don't have access to here in Charlotte, at least not yet. Now, I do think that that could start to change now that we have our new medical school here, and that is going to give patients more access to some of that. But like I said earlier in the show, there are still a lot of patients who are driving up to the Triangle in order to access treatments, clinical trials, surgical expertise that we don't have here in Charlotte.
So, Dr. Richmond, this plan to cooperate hospitals with Novant, between Duke and Novant, they are not merging. And there are some antitrust considerations whenever mergers take place. Is this a way to avoid some of the regulatory hurdles that they might face were they to merge? Talk about the dynamics of this.
Yeah, so the antitrust laws would be relevant regardless of whether this is a merger or some kind of licensing or some kind of a transactional agreement. The antitrust laws would be relevant in any case. The reason this is pro will probably escape any kind of antitrust scrutiny, probably for the right reasons, is that Duke does not currently have a presence in the Charlotte market. So its collaboration with Novant will not increase any kind of market power in the Charlotte market. By the way, if Duke were to do something with UNC, for example, the antitrust laws would be much more implicated because of Chapel Hill's and Durham's proximity to each other. But because so few people in Charlotte go to Durham for healthcare on a regular basis, Duke's presence here will not raise any kind of antitrust concerns. Now, the bigger question, though, is what exactly will it do to the local market? It's possible it could be something as simple as a licensing deal. Novant is paying Duke to use Duke's name. That would not bring a lot of benefit to the Charlotte market, but it still wouldn't implicate the antitrust laws. The bigger question is, what is Duke really trying to do by entering the Charlotte market? For a long time, UNC, Atrium, Novant also were purchasing lots of other smaller hospitals and physician practices as a way of channeling patient referrals to their hospitals. So if you can see somebody who is diagnosed with some kind of condition, you can more readily channel them or forward them to your hospital for some high margin services. Duke has resisted that for a long time, and it's possible that what this is doing really is Duke is trying to get some Charlotte patients to their Durham hospital.
And
That would be
Matthew,
ambiguous.
Matthew, I believe you have a theory about this, and I'll ask you about it when we come back from the break, because we don't have time to ask you about it right now. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE.
Support comes from WFAE listeners and Habitat Charlotte Region. Since 1983, Habitat Charlotte Region has partnered with more than 5,000 families through financial education, homeownership, and critical home repair. More information at habitatcharlotteregion.org.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFAE.org. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about, well, we're using the Duke Health Lake Norman, the entry of Duke into that hospital, as a springboard to talk about hospital mergers and expansion with Michelle Crouch, who is a healthcare journalist with North Carolina Health News and the Charlotte Ledger, Dr. Barack Richmond, professor of business law at George Washington University, and Matthew Hannes, co-founder and COO of Goldie Health. We were talking just before the break about what this may mean for Duke and Duke's entry into this market may mean for Charlotte and what the real goal here is, and you have a theory about this, Matt, if I'm not mistaken, although you have no inside information about what this means, that this might be a baby step into a possible merger in the future. Why do you have that inkling?
Well, I think there are three forces at work. One is the drive to grow. Health systems have to grow because of the economies of scale. The second is that there's a very nice intersection between Novant and Duke. They don't really have a much overlap in their current footprint, and they have historical relationships, which makes a merger more palatable. And the third thing is the introduction of the medical school. That is just such a huge implication to the Charlotte market. And Atrium will really gain an enormous competitive advantage on brand. What better counterpoint for Novant to use than the Duke brand to preserve their position?
As we have been talking about, one way that hospital systems justify expansion into other markets and mergers with other hospital systems is that it increases competition. And again, we have a comment from Dr. Justin Favaro, a medical oncologist at Oncology Specialists of Charlotte. He believes that competition is important.
We actually need more hospital beds in this area as our population grows. And there's a lot of other cities that are even smaller than Charlotte that have multiple hospital systems. And so I don't think just having two is really ideal. I think having other hospital systems as part of the mix is a good thing. I think competition can help. And we want to be able to have as many options for our patients as they can. And frankly, I think Duke brings other things in that the other hospitals may not have. And so this could actually be a complementary thing.
But Matthew, healthcare seems to be a closed system in that if you have insurance, you are directed to use doctors and hospitals that are in network. And if this hospital system is out of network, either the insurance company isn't going to pay for it or you're going to pay more out of pocket. Won't that continue to be the case with Duke's entry into this market?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. What will Duke do in terms of becoming an accepted provider in the market? And Charlotte does have a nice presence of large employers who choose these narrow networks as a way of getting a cost advantage. How does Duke overcome that? Well, probably the best way is to take advantage of Novant's footprint already. Novant has a thriving narrow network proposition, and layering the Duke brand on that would only add glory to it.
And Michelle, Dr. Favaro just mentioned that we need more hospital beds because we're a growing city. I think 159 people move here every single day of the week, and it's been going on like that 4 years. So clearly the need for more hospital beds is important. But does the presence of Duke or Duke's entry by being opening or joining with Duke Health Lake Norman, does that really increase the number of beds?
You know,
it's already
Mike. It doesn't, because our number of hospital beds that are allowed in any particular region is tightly regulated by the state through the certificate of need regulations that you referenced earlier. And so the state does an assessment to determine the demand in the area and how many beds are needed. And then hospital systems under the current system are competing to be able to open those beds. And so, you know, just the entrance of Duke into the market is not going to open up more beds for patients. It has to happen through that certificate of need.
So, Dr. Richmond, as Duke comes into this market at this one hospital, and as possibly they cooperate hospitals with Novant elsewhere in the state, does that really change patient choice? Does it change patient options? Does it lower costs for them, for Novant, for patients? What's the end result here?
Well, the happy story, and it could happen, is that we have a proliferation of narrow network plans, as Matt was describing, and effectively you have employers making a decision whether they have an insurance product that brings them to Atrium hospitals or brings them to Duke hospitals or brings them to Novant hospitals. Now, by the way, if Duke and Novant are the same thing, then you still basically have two choices. You don't have three. If Duke is really coming into the market and there's a third choice, that really brings a lot of competition. And that's where the point of price competition takes place. It's the construction of the insurance product. It's only if an insurer can really leverage competition between the hospital systems in constructing the insurance product, usually with narrow network plans, that's where premium savings accrue to patients and to employers. Now, that's a big if. It means that Duke is going to be a third entity, not just duplicative with Novant. It means it's going to bring a lot of energy into the market. And it also means that the purchasing, the insurance and employer part of this story is very active and intentional. That's not impossible, but there are a lot of ifs.
Matt, go ahead, Michelle.
Well, I just thought we might want to step back a little bit for our listeners to kind of explain what we mean when we're talking about leverage in these negotiations between hospitals and insurers. So what happens is hospitals and insurers agree on a price for a particular procedure. And the health insurance company, their main leverage is, hey, if you don't lower the price, we're going to drop you from our network. We're not going to give you guys as a choice for all of our people that are in our plan. But if there is only one hospital operating in an area, then the insurer really doesn't have any leverage because they can't drop that hospital because then their patients, their customers aren't going to have anywhere else to go to get care. So that's how that works. And that's why competition is so important for those and affects prices.
Matthew, traditionally.
And if I could just add to that very briefly. I'm sorry. If I could just add that very briefly. Yeah. My insurer is dropping Johns Hopkins from its network. I could be upset about that, but what I have to understand is that is competition taking place. That is how my insurance prices might stop going up. So when patients hear that their insurer is dropping a hospital from their network, they should understand that that is the insurer trying to keep prices down for them.
Let's talk about something we haven't talked about yet, Matthew. Duke University, up until this point, Duke University Hospital, has been a destination hospital. It's been a research hospital. It's been a teaching hospital. It's been a hospital with a national reputation where people come for certain treatments because they are alleged to have the best treatment available for those situations. Is this shift in strategy, this expansion, this perhaps cooperating with Novant and this purchase of the hospital in Mooresville, is this necessary in order to survive and not be gobbled up by others? Is that even something that could possibly happen with Duke University? Is this a beneficial approach for them? Does it not threaten with them with the weakening their status as a destination hospital?
Well, I think you're right about them being a destination hospital. You know, who's Duke's competition? It's Cleveland Clinic, it's Johns Hopkins, it's NYU, it's the places nationally that people will go to because they want top quality care. Does the average person pursue care at these destination providers? No, that's probably a small swash of the population that actually will travel somewhere to get their care. So for Duke, it's, in my opinion, kind of a genius move. What it does is it gives them the brand value of their research status, but extends that across the Novant network. And so essentially they're bringing something that polishes Novant and makes them more attractive to payers.
And let's layer something else into this that Dr. Richmond, you have talked about, and that is the fact that when you're a teaching hospital, like Duke is, you are on the cutting edge. You have people doing scientific research. You have them doing these treatments that are not yet been approved by the FDA. They're research treatments. And allegedly, the doctors there are highly trained and up on the latest treatment options. So you have said that this could dilute Duke's academic mission. True?
So before I answer, let me say I was on the Duke faculty for 20 years. I have a lot of affection for the place, and still root for the basketball team for what it's worth. But yes, when I started Duke in about 2003, the health system represented about 60% of total revenue for Duke. Now it's closer to 70% and 73%. And with this acquisition, it's going to be much more. And look, let me just, I'll just ask it as a question. What happens to a university if, $3 or $4 out of every $5 is driven by the provision of healthcare? It is very hard to prioritize things like academic freedom, very hard to go to the state legislature and say, look, you know, on one hand, I'd love you to work out that CON. I'd love to let you, I want you to let me expand, but I'd also like you to lay off my instructors and stop berating them for espousing views that you dislike. It's very hard for a university to balance those, and I think it'll be hard for Duke to do that. More specifically, this is Duke adopting the Atrium business model. It's going, it's purchasing regional hospitals. It's bringing doctors that are not specialists to provide an assortment of care. And look, I think that destination care needs to be more prioritized. I think virtual care needs to be prioritized. And to the degree that Duke is following what Atrium's doing, I think that's a loss for Duke, and I think it's a loss for America. But I'll reiterate, it might be a win for Charlotte.
Okay. And Michelle, you have said that Duke calls their acquisition of Duke Health Lake Norman the Duketizing of the hospital. What does that mean?
Well, yeah, I talked to a physician who's going there to be a surgeon, and he shared with me that they've been using that word a lot and they like that word. And what that means is they are investing millions of dollars into the hospital, into its technology, into its infrastructure, into training of its doctors. They're bringing some physicians down from Duke to administer the hospital and do that training. And, you know, they are trying to bring that regional hospital up to their Duke standards.
Are they also bringing specialists down? In other words, a lot of people go to Durham for specialized treatment that is not available here and elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Are they going to bring the doctors that provide that care to Lake Norman so we don't have to make that trek anymore? What's the story?
They are bringing, I know that they've at least brought a few physicians down, mainly to be the medical director and to, you know, run the hospital. But I think, and I don't know the details because Duke declined an interview with me, but it sounds to me like it's more that they're going to be able to access that expertise, whether it's through virtual consultations or training. And then when patients need a higher level of care than they can provide locally, then they may be referring those patients up to Duke. But then they may get their surgery at Duke, but they might have their follow-up care with the physicians here in Charlotte.
I mean, they've been quiet about this with you. It seems to me that if you're going to branch out and you're going to come into a new market and you are a destination hospital with a lot of expertise, that's something you would want to be trumpeting to the rafters. Why aren't they taking that approach?
Uh-huh. That's a great question. And I certainly tried to make that case as I was requesting an interview multiple times about how I thought this would be to their advantage to talk about this.
And Matthew, you spoke with Michelle about one thing that is certain to happen. You say that Duke's partnering with Novant gives Novant a credibility boost by tying it to Duke's research and academic reputation. If that proves to be the case, what will that mean for Atrium?
It's such an interesting twist in the market. I think for Atrium, it means that they're going to have to double down on their academic credibility. They obviously have the medical school as a foundation for that. But what we really need to see coming out of Atrium is innovative research. They've got to pick their areas and innovate. And, you know, maybe it's cancer, maybe it's healthcare infrastructure, maybe it's detection. But we need to see research coming from this new academic flair in order for them to compete with Duke.
So we asked our medical oncologist, who we've heard from periodically during this program, Dr. Justin Favaro, what he would like patients in Charlotte to understand about how these changes in these healthcare systems affects their care.
I think Charlottians really benefit from a really kind of robust healthcare system. And my message to them would be, I think competition helps, you know, to have multiple different places you can go to see different doctors. You may get different opinions and certainly can reduce the cost of care overall. I think that's helpful. So to have another hospital player come in, to have more physician-owned practices, I think all those things really lead to better outcomes.
So, Dr. Richmond, you've been kind of upbeat about what could possibly be happening as a result of that. Are you on the same page with Dr. Favaro?
Well, what was fascinating about that quote is what he threw in at the end. He said, more physician-owned practices. I don't think that's what this is about. I would agree with him. I think more physician-owned practices really would be good. But this is about large hospital systems not only coming into markets, but frankly, controlling more physician practices. That might, Mike, might require a different show.
And that's why we do this every day. We have to have you back very quickly to talk about this. Dr. Barack Richmond, Professor of Business Law, Co-Director of Health Law and Policy Program at George Washington University, Matthew Hannis, Co-Founder and COO of Goldie Health, and Michelle Crouch, a healthcare journalist with NC Health News.
Charlotte Talks is a production of 90.7 WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from Mazda of South Charlotte. Our executive producer is Gabe Altieri. The senior producer is Sarah D'Elia. Our producer is Chris Jones. For more information about Charlotte Talks, to listen to past episodes, or to subscribe to the Charlotte Talks podcast, visit wfae.org/charlottetalks. Additional support for WFAE programming comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at mazdaofsouthcharlotte.com.